So, Father God, we just thank you this morning, Father God. We worship you, Father God. We give you all praise, honor, and glory this morning, Father God. For we know, Father God, that alarm clocks don't wake us up, but it's you that's waking us up, Father God. So we just want to thank you for another day, Father God. We pray for Mother Campbell, Father God. We pray, Father God, that for healing, that you put your healing hand, make her responsive, Father God. We pray, Father God, for the Sykes family in Illinois, Father God, who ran that little corner store, Father God, who helped us as families didn't have money, Father God, but we can go over there and get what we wanted and pay later, Father God. The mother and father is gone. Now the oldest son is gone, Father God. So we just lift that family up to you, Father God. And we just lift up all families, Father God, who are struggling right now with the passing of their loved ones, Father God, or the sickness of their loved ones, Father God. We just ask that you reach out to them, Father God. And we know, Father God, that there is nothing done, Father God. There is nothing done by you, Father God, unless it's good, Father God. So we just want to thank you this morning and lift up those families, Father God, the homeless families, Father God, the suffering right now, Father God. We lift them up to you, Father God, as we supposed to be one of the greatest nations in the world, Father God, but people are still hungry, Father God. People are still living on the streets, Father God. So we just lift them up to you, Father God, because we know that there is nothing you can do. So we thank you this morning. And Father God, I just want to pray that the words that come out my mouth this morning is acceptable in your sight. And I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen.
Amen. So Dr. Caution, we need you to...
I feel like having old church today. Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
this place. Give him a great praise in this place.
Feel a special anointing in this place. The glory fills this place. Could you just for just a moment with the fruit of your lips just begin to thank God? Come on, in your own words, if he's been good to you. If it wasn't for his grace, you wouldn't even be here tonight, but he's been good to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I dare you to just give him the praise.
Say it about the news.
Praise the Lord. We're getting ready to hear the word of God this morning from Reverend Roberson. Reverend, I want you to get started with the word.
Amen. Amen. In the name of Jesus, we got the victory. Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth in the name of Jesus? And whatever he's doing in this season, I don't want him to do it without me. I don't know about y'all. I don't want him to do it without me. And I will always say yes to his will and to his way. You know, I prayed about this a lot before. We're coming out today in Genesis 32. And we're going to start at verse 7. But before we get to the reading of the word, I just want to say this is something I prayed about quite often. And first, let me tell you why I'm about to say what I'm about to say. So in November of this year, that'd be 17 years, I have been blessed by this ministry. I have been blessed by the pastor's teachings. I have been blessed that I found Bread of Life, and I found a church that understood that I was a suffering, recovering addict of 30-something years. I have been truly blessed, and I want everybody to know it. So the reason why I'm saying this, you know, if you notice lately, I don't post our service and what we're doing until later on. So like today I posted it like 8:30. I started messaging people about 8:30. And that's because the message has been getting clouded. Okay. When I posted it, so many other things is being posted over it, like other people's churches and stuff like that. Now don't get me wrong. Your timeline is your timeline. If you've been blessed by the Bread of Life Church, I want to see this service on your timeline. So you go to the Bread of Life Church and you have so many people that follow you, but you're not posting about your church, your ministry, who has helped you. You're not posting about that. Why would any of your people on your timeline come? I'm just saying, I am not judging. Your timeline is your timeline. And y'all know what Bobby Brown say, it's your prerogative. I want people to hear the stories from the pastor, which I have heard over 30 times. But is it only for me, you, us? Do you know it's some recovering addicts right now need to hear those stories? It's some recovering addicts right now that need to hear my story. See, when Jesus come, he came, he didn't come to condemn. He came to save. He came to help. He came to win souls of the sick. He healed the blind. He made the cripple walk. He didn't go out there and look for all the people that was well, because they didn't need a doctor. He looked for the sick, and that's what we do at Bread of Life. Unfortunately, Pastor is the mother of Free at Last Drug Rehabilitation Center. So many drug addicts who have came through Bread of Life and is blessed right now. I want other people to be blessed right now. I don't care if you put on your timeline, I'm joining Bread of Life this morning. Here's the link. Here's the link. I want people to know that you are proud of your ministry, that you are proud of your church. I was listening to TJ Jakes, and he was talking about how he started in this storefront church. But he also said, I didn't build it. I didn't build my ministry. My congregation helped build my ministry. I prayed on this before I bring it out, because I don't want nobody to take this in the wrong way. See, I don't know some of those preachers and pastors that you're putting on my thing, but I'm quite sure some of them are good. But what I do know is what my congregation and my ministry, when I look on here, I see some recovering addicts. The message that the pastor has been giving and been helping people for 17 years and got me doing it is not just for us, y'all. It's not just for us. I'm sorry. I want the world to know what Bread of Life is doing. I want the world to know, not just Chicago, East Palo Alto. I want everybody to know, because it saved me. And if it saved me, yes, Narcotics Anonymous, yeah, that helped. But the most of help I got is when I learned about the Lord. When I learned that all the stuff that I have done bad in my life, that the Lord would forgive me. And I didn't have to walk around here like, Richard, you old drug addict, you old dope fiend, you ain't gonna never be nothing. Because that's what happened to me before the Bread of Life, even though I was in recovery. I didn't think I deserve a second chance. I thought everything that was happening to me was a punishment from God. It was so many things that I had to learn. Don't you think other people need to learn what we're learning? And I'm going to leave this alone right here, and I'm going to get into my message, because, like I say, I prayed on this, but I can't tell people what to put on their timeline and what to do. But if you've been blessed by the Bread of Life Church, let others know it. If they don't see it from you, then... okay, I said enough on that. Amen. Can I get an amen from anybody out there? Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, I've been blessed by those.
Amen.
Hey, y'all don't know, Sabrina G know, because she been hearing them stories too.
Yep.
How many times them stories?
I would put it on my Facebook. I don't know how, though. I would definitely.
I'm going to show you. Don't worry. I'm going to show each and every one of y'all, because you got friends that I don't got. And they know you.
Bread of Life, I tell everybody about my church, because that's the only church I really know.
Because
I tried to go to the other churches, and I always come back.
Yeah, we know. We heard the story about you, and other people need to hear that story too. Sabrina Gina didn't like church, but she gave this one a try. See, people need to know that. Why Sabrina G didn't like church but gave Bread of Life a try? You know what I mean? People need to know that you go to Bread of Life, because some people that are your friends, they know also that you didn't like church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That is the point that I just tried to make. Thank you for helping me make that point. If we are a small congregation, we need to spread this word. We need to always, and I'm a little upset Zedrick ain't here because Zedrick kind of does it. Zedrick kind of does it. He brings people on and then he slips and go off and don't bring nobody. But he brings body. See, we are a soul winning church. Y'all didn't know that, did you? Bread of life is, and I'm going to get to my message, and I ain't got to go to work till 1:30, 2 o'clock. So yeah, and I done lost somebody. Who I lose? But anyway, that's okay, because we're going to gain more souls, because that is our purpose, to gain souls. Not only the souls that are well off, that are blessed, we want to gain the souls that are sick. We want to gain the souls that we have been gaining for many. Well, pastor has been gaining for many, many. We want to gain the souls of those recovering addicts who think they can't live a life without the use of drugs. I want them souls. I want those souls. And me and a few people on here, we've been through it. We know that it can be done, because God is not a respecter of persons. He didn't just do it for me. He would do it for you. So let me get started with my message today. We're going to talk about two brothers today. But before I talk about the two brothers we're going to read about in Genesis 32, verse 7, that's where we're going to start. I want to tell you this story. It was these two brothers, and they lived in this household where the father was a drunk. Was a terrible drunk. He would get drunk and beat them and call them bad names and beat the mother. And he was just a terrible man. When those two brothers grew up and left that household, one of the brothers was a manager of a construction company. And every time him and the co-workers went out to celebrate, he would get drunk and get very belligerent. When he got drunk. So the co-workers asked him one time, why? When we always go out, you get drunk, you want to fight, you want to start things, why? And he looked at them, he said, because my father was a drunk. He said, I'm like this because my father was a drunk. He got drunk, beat us, cussed us, and everything. But the other brother, he was over a marketing firm. They would go out and celebrate. He would never drink with them, but he would celebrate with them. And they asked him, hey, we notice when you go out with us, you never drink. You're never loud. What's going on? And you know what he told them? I'm like this because my father was a drunk. He beat us when he got drunk. He cursed us. So what I just told you was the tale of two stories, right? One took what happened in that household and he became what happened in that household. The other one took what happened in that household and refused to become what happened in that household. The reason why I told you that story, because it's never about what happened to you. It's never about what you've done. It's about how you take what happened to you. It's about how you take what was done to you. That's all it's about. People have been suffering. You know, Pastor talked about the mind last week. And I just don't be saying this to get people to listen to my podcast, because I've heard it. I got the word. So for y'all who listening later on the podcast or on YouTube, if you didn't listen to The Mind, I forgot what we named it. The Mind is a Terrible Thing to Waste. I always give Pastor Sermons a name. She never gives me the name, so I name him myself. And so that one I gave, The Mind is a Terrible Thing to Waste, because it's going to go whichever way you direct it to go. The one boy directed it to go to the chaos and stuff that happened to his in his home. The other one took the chaos and the stuff that happened in his home and said, it ain't me. So what happens to you is not you. It's just what happened to you. Amen. Amen. Genesis 32, starting at verse 7. And this time I ain't going to be stumbling, because I'm going to pick this thing up and read it. In great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and the herds and the camels as well, because he thought, the mind, he thought if Esau come and attack one group, the group will, the other attack one group, the other group will escape. Then Jacob prayed after he did that, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you said to me, go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am worthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servants. I have only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two camps. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau. For I'm afraid he will come and attack me and also the mothers with their children. But you, he's reminding God what he said before he go to meet his brother Esau. He's reminding God what he said. God told him to go back, but he's scared. Now, God done told you to do something, but you're scared. He's scared that his brother Esau is going to kill him, and we're going to talk about why later. But you have said, I will surely prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. So Jacob, he spent the night there. And from what he had with him, he selected a gift for his brother Esau. Now, these are the gifts that he gave his brother Esau. 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ass, and 20 rams, 30 female camels. Look at these numbers. 30 female camels with their young, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys, 10 male donkeys. He put them in the care of his servants, each herd by himself, and sent his servants, go ahead of me. Keep some space between the herds. He instructed the one in the lead, when my brother Esau meets you and asks, Who do you belong to and where are you going? Who owns all these animals in front of you? Jacob wanted them to say this. They belong to your servant Jacob. They are gifts to my Lord Esau. And he is coming behind us. He also instructed the second, the third, and all others who followed the herd. You are to say the same thing. Esau, when you meet Esau, and be sure to say, your servant Jacob is coming behind us. For he thought, I would pacify him with these gifts I'm sending on ahead. Later, when I see him, perhaps he will receive me. So Jacob went on ahead of him, but he himself spent the night at the camp. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to read more of that, but I'm going to stop there. So for y'all who don't know the story, Jacob and Esau, when they was coming out of the mother's womb, Jacob wanted to be first. And if they're coming out at the same time, of course, they are twins. He wanted to be first. He grabbed the heels of Esau coming out his mother's womb. He grabbed the heels to try to be the first one to come out. Even as a baby inside his mother's stomach, he must have knew that the first would get the blessings, that the first would get everything that the father had to offer. He knew that. So when he pulled on the heels and the parents seen that, or the father seen that, he said, that boy's name is Jacob. Because Jacob means heel grabber. Jacob means surplanter. Jacob means I'm a sneaky dude. In other words, that's what Jacob means. So that's why they named him Jacob. And what Jacob did, this is why I always talk about don't love one before the other. Because the mother, Rachel, I'm trying to tell the story because I should be able to know these things. Rachel liked the Jacob more than she liked the Esau. But Isaac liked the Esau more than he liked the Jacob. You already got some confusion going on right there. So what if it's real? You never let them know that. You never let them know that. But they knew this. They knew that one loved one more than the other. So Rachel decided, she said, you know what? Isaac is blind now. I'm going to give you some of Esau's clothes. I'm going to cook some really good food because Esau was a good cook. So I'm going to cook the food. You're going to take this in here and you're going to get the blessing that Esau is supposed to get. Jacob said, but Esau is a hairy man. She said, look, I'm going to put some hair on you then. We're going to put some fake hair on you then. So if he touch it, he going to feel the hair. So in reality, and the moral to this story is, Jacob went in there and stole Esau's blessing, his birthrights. His birthright. Esau was so mad because when he went in there to get the birthright, Isaac said, I already blessed you. And he's like, what? I ain't been here. How did you bless me? Then they realized that they had been tricked. So Rachel told Jacob, you need to get on, you need to move. You need to go somewhere because your brother Esau is going to kill you for what you did. Even though she the one that, you know, provoked it. So I don't want to just get into that story alone. So I'm going to push ahead. Jacob had been worried about this for 20 years. For 20 years, Jacob had been worried that his brother Esau was going to kill him. Most of those 20 years, he lived with his uncle Laban in another foreign land way out somewhere. To stay away from his brother. So the reason why I'm telling y'all this story and the reason why I'm telling it like that, 20 years that's been on his mind. What's been on your mind? What's been on your mind that's been bothering you? See, sometimes we have something on our minds and we make it so doggone big and it ain't even happening. It's not even going on, but we have made stories on how we gonna handle it. We send cows, bulls, and rams to these people because we think that we have harmed them. They're gonna do something to us. And that Jacob was blessed. And God told him to go back to that land. Let me continue. Where did I stop? Let's go to 22. So we're still in 32. We started at 7, Genesis 32. Now we're going to verse 22. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestle with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that the hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Jacob told this man he was wrestling with, which later on we find that he was wrestling either with God or an angel. We haven't got to, I don't know the exact, whether it was God himself or an angel. You know, and that's why I say, and Pastor's going to clear us up on this later. And that's why I say we go to a church where we can get the answers. So I've heard in some churches, it was God that he was wrestling with. I heard in some church, that wasn't God, that was an angel that God sent. But yeah, I'm going to leave that alone. But what I want you to focus on, I will not let you go unless you bless me. But let's go back. He's asking this man to bless him, but he had 200 female goats, 20 male goats, bulls, 40 cows. He was already blessed. He was already blessed. See, because back in that day, all those things I just read to you meant that Jacob was a billionaire. See, right now we call that money. But back then, those goats, those sheep, those donkeys, those camels, those cows, that was how you got blessed back then. He was what we would call today a billionaire. He was already blessed. He's sitting here worried about Esau killing him when God already told him to go back. So the moral of this, and I'm gonna get to the meat of what I'm trying to say today. This is the meat of it right here. When he finally seen his brother ran towards him and hugged him and embraced him. He hugged and embraced him. But for 20 years, Jacob was worried that he was going to kill him. Here's what I really love about the story. When Esau said, what is all of this? All these goats, bulls, rams, and what is all of this? And Jacob said that, hey, I sent this to you that you know you may forgive me or whatever. You know, Esau said, I already got all of this. I already got all of this. And you know why he said that? Because God had blessed Esau too. And the reason why I think that God blessed Esau so plentiful is because he wasn't worried about what happened to him in the past. He wasn't worried about that Jacob stole his blessing. He wasn't worried about all of that. Jacob had been forgiven. Jacob had been forgiven, and God had blessed Esau as well. So what I'm trying to tell y'all is, whatever happened in the past is not you. Whatever you've done in the past, you've done it, and it's done. God will bless you anyway. God will bless the weak. God will bless the sick. God will bless the sinner. All we did, y'all, was sin. We sinned and we still sin, and God is still blessing us. My boy on his way to Damascus, he killed Christians. He put them in jail. He did everything to them. And he wrote a lot of the Bible. God blessed him. Yeah, you were a sinner. You killed my people. Now you finna be one of my biggest word spreader. You're gonna spread my word here. You're gonna spread my word there. And Peter turning into Saul, y'all know I get backwards when I get excited, but y'all know who I'm talking about on the road to Damascus when Jesus blinded him. And he was trying to tell everybody else, look, I know what I did. But Jesus blinded me. I was blind. Now I can see. Now I can see. So the moral to this story is, y'all, is that Jacob for 20 years, no matter how much God had blessed him, no matter how Laban tried to get over on him, no matter what, God had already blessed him. But he couldn't see the blessing because of the mind, because of his mindset that his brother was going to kill him. He was missing some of the other blessings. He asked that man, oh, I ain't going to let you go till you bless me. And so when he told Isaac, his father, that his name was Esau, he wasn't telling the truth. But when that man that he was wrestling with asked him, what is your name? He told the truth. My name is Jacob. And when he told the truth about who he really was, that man blessed him. He said, your name is no longer Jacob, but Israel. Your name is no longer Jacob, no longer the supplanter, no longer the heel grabber, but your name is Israel. So, like I'm trying to say, y'all, this story just entices me. I don't know if you got it like I got it, but I just love this story. And I advise you to read Genesis 32 from beginning to end. Don't worry about what's happening. It's hard to think that certain things happen to you and you can't think about it or just forget about it. So if you can't forget about it, I want you to think that of the blessings that God has placed upon it. I want you to think about the blessings that God has given you. Don't say, I'm blessed, but. Don't say, I'm blessed, but God, you know what happened to me when I was 13. I'm blessed, but you know my cars ain't running right. I'm blessed, but you know those people on the job. I'm blessed, but. No, you're blessed, period. Don't bring your blessed butt to church and be talking about I'm blessed, but. Amen. Amen, because I can go on and on with this, and I think I need to talk about this some more, because so many of us are holding on, and it pops up in our memories, and it pops up in our brains, the things that we have done and the things that has happened. You know, being a drug addict for over 30-something years, of course, a lot of things I've done, and most of them I am not. Practically all of them, I am not proud of the things that I have done. But I've sat down and I had this discussion with God. And God say, you know, you can keep on dwelling on that. Or you can keep on, because I've forgiven you already. I've already forgiven you. Have you forgave yourself? Have you forgave yourself? Have you seen the blessings that I have put upon you? Yeah. Have you seen the blessings I gave you, Richard? The job, the clothes, the food in the refrigerator. Have you seen that? And you still worried about what happened 20 years ago? Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Amen? Amen. All right, Pastor. I'm going to let you take it over, Pastor.
Praise God. Well, that story is always needed, always, because we have problems with jealousy, we have problems with undermining and backstabbing and all of those things that Jacob represented in this story, because he was an underminer, a supplanter. He undermined his own brother for the birthright. And mom, she was as guilty as he was, because she encouraged them, you see. And we do those kinds of things around money and around property. Right now, in this day and time, I happen to know a family right now where that is going on. There's some undermining. One of the individuals is in prison, and he's trying to undermine another family member for some property because there's money involved, you see. And so we have to understand that is a subject that we continue to discuss because it's necessary. It's not only for when Jacob and Esau were alive, but it's for us right now, right Amen. Now today. Amen. And so we thank God for the message and the messenger. I was looking at that scripture in the New Living Translation where it says, Reverend, Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And the man asked, what is your name? And he replied, Jacob. And God, who he was wrestling with, said, mm-hmm. Your name is no longer Jacob. The man told him, that man being God, from now on you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won. And then Jacob wanted to know, tell me your name. And who he was talking to, of course, was God. So this is the New Living Translation that I just read to you, depending on what the other translations say. But as we understand that he was wrestling with God, and when you wrestle with God, you're not going to win. He is going to have his way. I've tried it. Some others of you may have tried. God is going to have his way. And he's not like the devil. He's not going to force you. He just keeps on working with you until you understand that he's in charge. And so I thank him for that this morning. And I thank Reverend for the message. It's always apropos. So as we get ready to dismiss, I just want to let you all know, if anybody doesn't know Jesus Christ is the personal Savior this morning, we can let them know that in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, if we confess the Lord Jesus with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And, you know, I was listening, I just have to say this, and then we're going to dismiss. As I was listening, and as he was teaching on this, you know, I could see my family in that. I could see my family in that, and I could see how, you know, the devil will fool us and cause us to have these addictions. You know, two of my brothers, I had three brothers after one of them, not with the same mother, but the two brothers that I have with the same mother as I have, both of them ended up as alcoholics. My father was an alcoholic, but I was blessed to be delivered from alcohol before it took over my life. Now, I'm not saying I didn't drink any. I drank plenty. But God saw fit to get me my attention early as far as he was concerned. And so when it looked like I was getting ready to go the way of my brothers, he delivered me. And I saw that in this family that, you know, God delivered the primary individual, and that was Jacob. He was the primary individual in that family. And he needed forgiveness because he sinned. We all need forgiveness because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we're going to leave that right there. Reverend brought a really good message about it. I just wanted to put a few thoughts out there. But go back and read that and see, ask God to show you if there's anything in that story that applies in your life. And if so, is there anything you need to do to make a change? And you don't have to testify about it. You don't have to tell us about it. But do it for yourself, because it's that between you and God. And so with that, we're going to get ready to dismiss. We want you to have a real blessed day in the Lord. And again, I mentioned that we did celebrate another anniversary for Free at Last. We want you to continue to pray for Free at Last. I see we didn't have the women this morning, so I'll be checking on that. But please pray for Free at Last, because we need Free at Last to continue to be funded and to continue to help people in this environment that we have right here in the city of East Palo Alto in the county of San Mateo. So that said, Reverend, will you dismiss us?
Amen, amen. So in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you have to flee. Whoa, tell me, who can stand before us when we call on that great name? Jesus, Jesus. Ooh, boy, I don't want to get started, y'all, but in the name of Jesus, we do have the victory. And I did want to end with that, because we do have the victory. All we got to do is believe what Jesus has said, believe what God has said. We have the victory, and don't let nobody else tell you any different. So Father God, We thank you today, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for each and every one that is here today, Father God. We want to thank you for the families that are represented here today, Father God. And we just pray nobody leaves the same as they came this morning, Father God. We want to pray, Father God, that we become more of a soul-winning church. Yes, we're on Zoom, and it's a lot of souls on Zoom. It's a lot of souls on Instagram. It's a lot of souls that we need to help save, Father God, because you want us to save souls. You want us to bring the souls in to be saved, Father God, and not only the rich and the famous, Father God. You want those sick souls. You want those sinners, Father God. And it's our job, Father God, to bring them to you, Lord. So, Father God, I just thank you. I give you praise, I give you honor, and I give you glory, Father God. And we pray that as we carry on our week, that there you are with us in the midst like you've always been. So thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, y'all. All right, everybody. Y'all have a good one.
Bye.
Have a blessing.
All right. And tell my brother Courtney, I say happy. Well, I already told Courtney happy birthday, but yeah. Sabrina's son birthday was yesterday, right?
Happy birthday.
Yeah. He may how old?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
36.
Boy, we getting old, Sabrina. We got children 38 and 36. Boy, we got children almost 40 years old. We might make it to be like the pastor. We might see some great grands. We keep on hanging in there, girl.
That's right. That's right. Just keep on praising the Lord and Jesus caring. You have that opportunity. Praise God.
Amen. All right, y'all.
Amen.
Amen. To God be the glory. Oh, let me see. I'm still recording here. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We have that victory. And in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus. Satan, you have to flee. Oh, tell me, who can stand before us when we call on that great name?